Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
From the newsroom to the nursery,
we're juggling a demanding career on live TV with the demands of motherhood.
I'm Katie.
And I'm Karen.
They are Anchor Moms.
Good morning, Katie. Welcome to another episode of Anchor Moms, the podcast. Katie, it is freezing.
Mm-hmm.
School was delayed this morning because of said cold temperatures.
Uh-huh.
We're kind of in like the not fun part of January.
Is there any fun part of January? What's the fun part of January? Like January 1st?
New Year's Day, perhaps.
Okay. All right. I just was curious. Yeah. This has been the most January's.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps ever.
And you've had to deal with COVID on top of
yeah.
that.
Yeah. So we've had multiple school closings, delays, dismissals, because here in the South, we've just had unseasonably cold temperatures, some ice, some snow. It doesn't take very much to disrupt school and life here.
I would say by snow, you mean like a couple flakes flying around.
Correct.
Yeah.
Well, and that's not true.
Not
some
like
of the
a
areas,
legit snow.
Right, here in Asheville proper, right, but some areas west of
sure,
Asheville have
yeah.
seen like major amounts of, I mean, and when I say major, I mean like, I don't know.
A couple inches.
Yeah. Depending on where you're listening.
Yeah, I just feel like we need to clarify just for those like folks out west who are like, I'm sorry, what?
You're right. Yeah. Right. Yeah, sure. So on top of all of that, River had COVID. She's since recovered back at school. My co-anchor is sick, and he is out all week, and so I'm solo anchoring on the desk. It's fine. Working a couple extra hours.
Living the dream.
Yeah, and it's like it's one of those, and I'm not alone in this because I've seen on my social media feeds just anecdotally talking to other people like, man, January, even like I just will tell you, dear listeners, just in full disclosure, Karen and I just recorded a whole entire episode in which we realized that we forgot to hit – record. That literally has just happened in the last like 5 minutes. So it's just
added
one
to
of
the
those,
January list.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What's going on, January? Mm-hmm. Every time something bad happens in my life, by the way, or not even bad, just like very irritating, I've been chalking it up to January. Like,
yeah.
I'm just like, well,
another January.
It's January. Like, so yeah, I'm ready for
spring.
Summer.
Do you think, but I feel like, everyone feels this way,
yeah.
right? I mean, I don't feel like I'm meeting a lot of people who are like, whoa, hey, life is great.
No, that's what right? I was saying. It's a collective thing. This is why if you are one of those people who is participating in dry January, like—
We do not understand
stop.
You. We do not understand you.
Like, January is already dry enough. Like, dry and fun. What? Let's start a dry, what did we say? Dry July.
Dry April, perhaps.
And then we said, oh, that's right. And then we went back and said April because there's nothing July is like fun. There's like the 4th of July. You could go on the lake.
You're
you could
like,
go to the
yeah.
beach. You could like hang outside. Okay. So don't go dry in July. This is a slogan. I'm going to start this slogan.
Okay.
It's like a big push right now, Karen.
Okay.
I don't
I'll support
know
you.
I'm going to say this in my news voice. Like, big push right now for dry April.
Folks all across the country are starting to celebrate this new holiday that's becoming really, really popular.
Yeah. The other reason I think dry April could be good, like that's when you're trying to get your bikini body, like for maybe spring
that's
break
true.
Or
that's
like
true.
Summer. Mm-hmm. So like this is also, I mean, January, just keep packing on those pounds because like—
Nobody's seeing them.
Nobody's seeing you like mm-mm. in the next like 3 to 4 months.
Mm-hmm.
April.
Mm-hmm. Push it off.
That's right.
Kick the can down the road.
Kick the can down the road. Forget about dry January. It's already hard enough, you guys.
I don't remember Asheville being this cold in January in previous years.
It must
feels
have been.
Really, maybe, but it feels really, really cold, really miserable weather that I don't feel like. I don't know. We should bring like one of our weather people on and ask them if it's this is normal or if it feels as terrible as
I
it
think it's pretty. I'm just telling. I mean, it might not be like this cold, but I sometimes, you know how Facebook will send you memories?
Mm-hmm.
At like every day this week, it's been like, 2 years ago, preparing for some snow. It's a weather-worn day. Like, 3 years ago, like, the sleet's coming down. No, I think I think January is so horrible that your mind blocks, like, blocks it out because it's just trauma, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you just, you don't want to remember how bad it is. Mm-hmm. And if you knew going in, like, every January 1st, if you, like, remembered how—
You would skip the month.
Right.
You would just go. I did see something the other day that was like, realizing that all of those friends of yours who booked a trip to Mexico in January were totally right.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yes, why don't we do that? Next year, Katie, let's go to a Caribbean location in January.
I'm sure the husbands will love that.
I mean, they can come. Bring the whole fam.
Oh.
I don't know.
We do have an article coming up about taking vacations in the off season. So.
Yeah. There you
go. I'm here for it. All right. I'm cool with that. Okay. So this this first article is from The Cut. And the title is, I Know What You Did on the Playground Inside the Chaos That Often Ensues After a Parent Posts About a Bad Nanny on Facebook. I did not realize that this was like a whole thing. I mean, I knew that social media was very prevalent and bad things happen on social media, unfair things. I didn't realize it was like this was happening. So the gist is that folks are seeing, are policing other people's nannies and kids and then taking snapshots of whatever bad behavior they think that their nanny is participating in and posting it on these bad nanny Facebook groups.
But of course, if you are out there in the wild in New York City and you see presumably nanny doing something they shouldn't be doing, you have no idea who the mom is.
Correct.
So you're just taking a picture, taking a video, posting it, writing about it in hopes that the mom will see that post and realize, ooh, that's me, that's my nanny, that's my kid, I need to handle this.
Yeah, the example that they use is a mom is scrolling through her phone one night. She happens to, she's in this Facebook, this bad nanny's Facebook group, and she happens to see somebody describing a nanny and a little boy, and the little boy was at this specific library and was lost for 15 minutes. Everybody was searching for him at the library, and it was so concerning. After 15 minutes, the librarians were getting ready to call the police, and then the little boy materialized. And the mom scrolling through this Facebook post realizes that this is her nanny and her kid, and also realizes that the nanny, like, glossed over this, like, mentioned something at the library but didn't talk about just how significant of an incident this is. So she goes to the library, she confirms all of this happens, fires the nanny, and then hires a new nanny, and the new nanny gets harassed by by other caregivers in the community who knew how this all went down, basically, that it all came from this post in this Facebook group.
Mm-hmm. So I checked on our, we have a couple of Asheville Mom Facebook pages, and I checked, and I didn't see this type of behavior going on, but I'm sure if there was an egregious incident that someone noticed, they would post it right here locally. But it's unbelievable to kind of get a glimpse into what this sort of culture and this life is like, in particularly New York City, where this is happening. Apparently, some people even hire like private investigators to babysit your nanny for $125 an hour. What?
So that means not only are you paying your nanny, but you're paying
someone to watch your nanny.
Yeah.
Like, at that point, just cut out the middleman and pay the private investigator to watch your kid, maybe?
Right.
I don't know.
And, of course, so the other issue is, you know, these nannies, it's a little bit of a gray area. It's not regulated. They don't have a contract. So they get fired, and they're just completely out of a job. You know, no, they're not collecting unemployment. There's no, like, severance pay, if you will. And then, of course, they don't have, like, those, that – they don't have that person as a reference, so it's hard for them to get another job. In a lot of areas across our country, nannies are often people of color. So this brings up this whole idea of discriminatory, racist behavior. And, you know, I think the thing about social media and even just parenting in general is it's all very subjective. Like, you can't take at face value what you see on a post, a Facebook post, neither the picture and video or even just the text. And also just what is egregious to one person may not be egregious to another. In other words, parents might have different standards or requirements for their nanny than other parents, right? Like, I want my nanny to be strict and firm. I want my nanny to be laid back and let my kid explore the library. Like, it's just, it's one of those things. This isn't black and white.
And while sometimes I'm sure they're catching something that should be relayed back to the mother, of course, there's lots of incidents where it turns out nothing bad was happening at all. And it was just a miscommunication or, like you said, just a difference of opinion. I'm also realizing, too, as we're talking about this, I mean, I'm not going to lie. There's probably been times that I've, you know, yelled at a kid or, I mean, one of my kids this morning got away from me in the parking lot and ran through the parking lot. And I'm the mother. Like, what if somebody posts about, hey, I saw this woman, this nanny, and it's like, oh, no, that's the real mom. That's just like, you know, I mean, and we're not perfect.
One of these posts, it's the who they thought was a nanny was the grandmother. So, I mean, to your point, it's just, you know, I do appreciate, I think to some parents, these like bad nanny reports are sort of like eyes on the street. And, you know, obviously if something significant, like you would want to know if something truly significant was happening. And if you're that person who is posting this, who saw it happen, it's almost like you have like a moral duty to say like, hey, like this is happening and I'm not sure that you know about it. And this is a real, I don't know, danger to your kid, right? So it's like you just, I guess you, if you're going to do it, you better be like awfully judicious about how you're going to go about it and be awfully certain that there was something really wrong.
Right. And I, yes. And I just kind of have to almost side with the nannies on this one though for a lot of it, because I feel like most of these are not going to be repeated behaviors, right? You're not going to see the same random person in the street usually. So it's a one-time thing that typically I would think those are just, you know, not
a bad day, a bad circumstance,
right, just like happened to happen. Not that the nanny is this terrible person who's putting some child in harm's way every day. So, I mean, I think Katie, we are lucky that we both had nannies that we trust. I've never even put up a nanny cam. I've just had good childcare. So I think that we are lucky in that respect. But I do feel like, I mean, yeah, what if there's something bad going on? Of course you'd want to know.
Well, and I will just say that we do have an incredible nanny who, you know, is like a family member to us, truly. But, we, you know, we have babysitters. And this is the nice part. Now that River is like 5 and a half, I worry less because now River, like if I came home and something happened, she would be like, listen to what happened. You know what I mean? So I do, when you have infants or even toddlers, babies, this is where this stuff does get a little, a little dicey. So, I mean, the point of all of this is this is really just a, this has to be the right circumstance for this, for these posts to be, for these posts to be okay. And I, again, I think you're right. Like, you almost have to side with the nannies on this. This does not, it really just corrodes trust. I mean, it just goes back to the, it's just hard being a parent and putting your trust and anybody else. Just knowing that this is out there and that this could happen, it just really corrodes trust between you and your caregiver, which at the end of the day is just a nut. Put that in like the column for like why it's stressful to be a parent. You know?
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget. Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable.
Ah. So,
do you have a mamas for us this week?
All right. So moms, you know, this is our Moms the Word segment where we talk about, we have a product. Sometimes it's a kid thing. In my case, it's almost always a self-care thing because that's
what you're into.
That's, well, I mean,
and
it's also just,
I look to you
who I am, you guys. Selfish and indulgent.
No, but I look to you for advice on these products.
Okay.
And I think for our listeners, if you're a busy mom, you don't want to like try all the things. You don't want to have to figure out which brand to buy.
Yeah.
Just tune in and listen to Katie. She will tell us what
to
do.
It's a lot of pressure. So have you seen these face oils? I feel like it's really in to have this like dewy skin.
Yes. I mean, I've seen mention of them. Mm-hmm. I've done zero research again and have no real knowledge, but tell me everything.
Okay. Well, I mean, this is a thing too. I think, you know, we're over 40. So
we are. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, we are. Unfortunately.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not technically over 40. I am 40. I just like to clarify. But anyway, I feel like
you're
mature,
saying that I am over 40 because I'm 41.
I mean, you're 41.
Okay,
so
all right,
so
all right.
One of us is over 40.
Little jab. All right.
Anyway, and I do feel like dewy skin kind of gets a little weird for me because like we're not 20. Like I'm just trying to decide how to use.
I don't really know if I know what dewy skin, like moisturized?
Yeah,
like glowy?
Dewy, glowy. Okay. Yeah. All right, okay. So I've been trying to figure out, like, I want to use face oils, but I don't want to try to, I'm not like Hailey Bieber. Do you know what I mean? So I got to like figure this out. So these are my two favorite.
I don't know who Hailey Bieber is.
It's okay. It's Justin Bieber's wife.
Okay. Gotcha.
She has a skincare line, but that's another story.
Okay. Interesting.
So I've been trying to figure out, I've tested a couple of face oils here, and I have two that I really like. You can get both of them at Sephora. One is cheap. One of them is expensive. The first one is this, the Inky List Rosehip Nourishing Night Oil, $12.
Okay.
I use these at night. I will use them, and my face is really dry right now. It's wintertime, so I will use them in the morning before I come into work because there's a significant amount of time between, like, showering and coming into work and then actually putting my makeup on. I would not recommend slathering this on before you need to actually go somewhere. And I also have been mixing in with my foundation and my concealer as well. So the cheap one is this, the Inky List, the Rosehip Nourishing Night Oil. The expensive one is this Drunk Elephant Virgin Marula Luxury Face Oil. It is $68. I would say they both work about the same. I do like the, in full disclosure, I do like the Drunk Elephant one, just maybe just a little bit better, but I don't know that I like it enough to spend
the extra money.
So just keep that in mind. But, you know, the other thing is there are all sorts of face oils with different purposes, with different scents, different like specific extracts in them. So you should really, it's worth like sort of checking out to see what you would like. But, yeah, this has kind of been my jam in this. It's not dry January at my house. We're moisturized. You know what I mean?
It's oily January.
Yeah, exactly.
I love it. Okay, this next article is from Huffington Post. Jonathan Owen says in another interview that he didn't know who Simone Biles was before when he first met her. So, if you don't know, Jonathan Owens is an NFL player who is now married to Simone Biles, but they met on a dating app, right? Okay, so my first comment on this article is, I cannot believe Simone Biles used a dating app.
Which I think dating apps are
all the rage these
days. I mean, forget all the rage. I just think it's how people meet people in 2024.
What happens.
Yeah. It's not the – I think when you and I were dating – not when you and I were specifically dating, but we were
out there dating.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's a whole other podcast, right? When we were out there doing our thing.
I don't think we need to get into that.
Dating. People were doing online dating as like sort of a last resort. Like I've been looking. I've been like trying to find someone. It hasn't worked out.
It's nearly as prevalent as it is
so
now.
So now I'm going to get on a dating app. Mm-hmm. That's how you and I are thinking about this. Mm-hmm. And I think that nowadays that is not the case. This is like maybe the first thing you do when you're looking to find a partner.
I mean, to blow your mind, I was not on Facebook when I got married in 2011.
I know.
I was still not on Facebook.
How? I don't know how this is a thing.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
I was very late to the social media game. I shouldn't say late. I bucked it for a long time. Uh-huh. I did not want to join. I did not want to be a part of
it. You
this.
Resisted.
I resisted. I bucked the trend.
When did you get on Instagram? Do you remember?
No. I think when I had a kid, perhaps. So that would have been 8 years ago.
Wow. Yeah. So I joined Facebook, like, I think late 2005.
Oh, yeah. And you were quite a bit ahead of me.
Well, and even then, I feel like I will remember sitting in class a friend looked at me and was like, you really need to, like, get on Facebook. You should do it. Mm-hmm. I remember it was, like, a break in between class, and I, like, logged on right there in the class and, like, started my Facebook experience, you know? It was, like, very formative.
All this walked down social media memory lane to say that dating back, 15 years ago looked a lot different than it does now.
You weren't even gonna, you weren't gonna online date because you weren't even on Facebook.
Exactly. Yes. Like, I wasn't even like, I don't even, did I use the internet? Mm. I don't know. How did I live? I don't know what I was doing.
It was a glorious life.
Somehow I managed to find a wonderful husband. So that's
despite it all.
Despite it all. Anyway, all of that aside, Jonathan Owens repeatedly has said in interviews very publicly that he didn't follow gymnastics, had no idea who Simone Biles was when they were doing whatever swiping matching situation you do on dating apps. And then he checked her Instagram and saw she had a bunch of followers and was like, oh, I guess she's good at gymnastics. But, like, had no idea that she was this amazing gold medalist, Olympian, just phenomenal, maybe greatest of all time gymnast. But the interesting thing, and one of the reasons he's getting so much flack over this, is he goes on to say that he was the catch in this and kind of like downplays it like, well, I mean, I didn't know who she was. Like, I was like the big thing in this relationship. So a lot of people are like, what? Hold up. Like, she's the star here, which I totally agree with. I mean, I don't know who Jonathan Owens is, but I for sure know who Simone Biles is. And she's just like a wonderful human and a wonderful person. And aside from all of her athletic abilities.
Right.
I don't know. It gets me all riled up.
I can tell. Like,
Jonathan Owens. You're
hot and bothered over there.
I am.
I don't know if I. So, you know, he says that she messaged him first. So,
okay.
I mean, just the fact that he has to put that out there also, yeah, there's not a scoreboard here. I don't know that I totally believe that he didn't know who she was. Did he live, like, in a cave? I don't know. It just seems very strange. Or maybe initially maybe he didn't, but then, like, you know, again, we live in the world of digital age.
Millions of followers.
Yeah, like when you clicked on her Instagram, when you Googled her, because inevitably, isn't that what people, like, do?
Yeah.
You would have been like, oh, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Interesting. You know, obviously, perhaps to Simone, this was what was – if he truly did not know who she was, maybe that was really interesting to her. Maybe everywhere she goes,
she was tired of all the, like, hype around her gymnastics career and was like, oh, how refreshing.
Yeah. She seems happy, judging by her.
I mean, I don't know. Her.
Judging by her Instagram, she has 7 million followers.
Well, that doesn't make her happy. But her Instagram looks happy.
Her Instagram does look happy. And maybe 7 million followers make her happy. I don't know.
She doesn't seem like that type to me, but I don't know.
So, I mean, I don't know. Simone, if you want to come on here and tell us more. How this all went down.
Tell us how you really feel about Jonathan Owens saying all these
available.
Things.
So we might be able to fit you in, you know?
We'll try.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be fun? Simone Biles really do love her.
Yeah, she's, you know, obviously an incredible gymnast, but I mean, she has been super upfront about her mental health issues. She's done some very brave things.
Yes.
Not just in the name of gymnastics, but as a human. And I like her too. And I hope that she.
We just hope that
she likes her husband.
And I hope that Jonathan Owens realizes, like, cut all this. You're maybe not the catch here.
Mm-hmm.
And just celebrate your wife as the wonderful person she is.
Oh, wow.
Jonathan.
Wow. Okay, Karen. Has a lot to say about this one. Not so much the face oil, but Simone Biles.
But Simone Biles, I am all about.
Passionate over here. All right, this third article is from Good Morning America, and then it got picked up by a bunch of ABC affiliates. The title here New travel trend, more families opting to take children on vacation during the school year. Talks to several families. And it seems like most of them have young kids, as in like two-year-olds, first graders, elementary school kids. They go on vacation during the school year because it's more affordable, less crowded, just a better experience. And it helps get kids out of that repetitive, you know, grind of going to school. But it's funny, educators in this article weighing in, here's a quote. If you can go between September, here's the quote. Showing up to school every day, reestablishing that routine of everyday attendance is critical. It helps lower anxiety, helps make sure that they develop good habits that are important for success in school. So this is an educator saying, you know, maybe think twice.
Mm-hmm. Which I don't want to go against an educator because obviously they're amazing people and they're doing good work. But I do feel like we're not going to pull them out of school to go to, you know, the beach every other week. I think if 95% of the time they're doing their normal routine, it's okay to have. I mean, I think this article is saying, you know, once or twice a year, perhaps, not all the time.
Right.
And for me, when they're little, I just really am totally fine with taking them out for a day or two here and there. I think it's good for their mental health. I think it's good for them to create wonderful memories with their family. And I do think you don't want it to be about money, but you can't deny the fact that vacations are a whole heck of a lot cheaper in a time of the year besides the summer. This article mentions February or also September, October would be a great time to do it because rentals, Airbnbs, you know, wherever you're going, it's going to be a lot less expensive than the middle of the summer.
Yeah. And I think a couple of caveats here for me. And again, I have a kindergartner.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think when our kids are older, we might feel differently.
Yeah. That's what I was just going to say. I mean, I think as long as your kid is feeling good about school, doing well in school, not struggling, like this mm-hmm. is probably fine. I feel like once they get older, they might need to wait. Like if your kid's in high school and they're, you know, taking AP courses or things at school are not going as well as they would like them to, I think it might be a little bit of a different story. But I'm kind of with you, like experiences over sitting in the classroom any day. I mean, that's part of learning and growing up as well. So interesting trend there. It does sound like you could save a lot of money.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
You totally could. Okay, so we have a win.
Okay.
I have signed both of my kids, big kids, up for ski lessons.
Okay. How is that going?
And so they've only been to one so far.
Okay.
But it was amazing. And the thing that really the reason it's a win for me is I was a little worried. You know, skiing is tricky, right? And we have tried to start our kids at about age 3 and take them once a year to just get them used to it. But, you know, going once a year doesn't really do anything besides they kind of know the process a little bit. But anyway, I was worried because I'm just thinking, you know, they're 7 and 8. This might be hard for them. It might be tricky. So they got home from the first lesson and were both like, I fell a lot. We didn't do that great. You know, it was pretty hard. It was cold. And I'm like, oh, gosh. And they're like, but we loved it.
Yay.
So I think it's just, you know, a reminder that sometimes when you put them into something that you're not sure how it's going to go, they are resilient. Children are resilient. And they might surprisingly love something even though it's hard. So I was really proud that they were like, yeah, we fell a lot, like we weren't that great, but
they're gonna stick with it,
but we loved it and we're gonna go again. So yeah. I don't know, talk to me in a couple weeks when they've gone more. Maybe it was just like the, you know, first time butterflies or whatever, they were just excited about it, but I was really happy and I was just proud, I guess, that they loved it, even though they didn't,
even though they're
necessarily like top of their class, like skiing champions over here. But, and I do think it's one of those things that it takes time to get good at.
Absolutely.
But anyway, so it's a weekly, class. So we'll see how the rest of the, ski season turns out.
Okay.
But I thought that was a pretty good win for week
one. I think it is. I'm excited to hear more about it. And, yeah, I think skiing, you know, we took river skiing last year out west, and I was like stressed because I was like, how is this? It's like cold. They're all bundled up. It's just like something that.
And it's an awkward sport. It's an awkward move. Like, it's just hard.
Yeah, I was a little anxious about it too. So I think to me, it's a win just if your kid is like willing to do it and not complaining about it. Yeah. So good for Elroy and Henry.
Yes. Well done, big kids.
Well done.
All right. Hope you have a wonderful week. And we will see you right back here next time.
Bye. Anchor Moms is a Sinclair podcast produced out of WLOS in Asheville. We're your hosts, Katie Killen and Karen Zakalek. Anchor Moms is edited by Matthew Yates.
For more information on the topics discussed in this episode and to stay up to date on future episodes, follow us on Instagram at Anchor Moms.
You can follow Anchor Moms on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Know a parent who could benefit from this week's Anchor Moms episode? Your recommendations help our show to grow, so spread the word.